All right, Alexander, from the BBC, Montenegro election opposition parties, I tiny majority. Let me read you a couple of paragraphs before you comment. Opposition parties in Montenegro have between them won a wafer thin majority in the ex-Yugoslav country's election. Official results suggest the pro-Western party of long-serving president Milo Djukanovic won most of the vote on Sunday, but fell one seat short of a majority. His Democratic Party of Socialists, the DPS, has been in power for over 30 years. With nearly all the votes counted, there is a possibility the opposition could form a technocratic government. The Democratic Front, the DF, is the largest opposition party, but its right-wing policies and close relations with Serbia and Russia are not shared by other parties. Remember, this is coming from the BBC. President Djukanovic says he and his party will respect the results and the, quote, free democratic will of Montenegro's people, but will wait for the final outcome. The final outcome, Alexander, just to give you the exact numbers, with 99.65% of the vote counted, the DPS won 35.1%, while the DF had 32.51%. Peace is Our Nation, an opposition alliance of centrist parties, was in third place with 12.5%. And another alliance led by the Green United Reform Action Party had 5.53%. One final sentence from the BBC says divisions over the powerful Serbian Orthodox Church dominated the campaign. That is true, I believe. Alexander, what do you make of the elections?
Right. Montenegro is this very, very small but strategically placed country in the Balkans. It used to be part of the former Republic of Yugoslavia, the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia. It has historically and traditionally been exceptionally close to Serbia. Many Montenegrins actually consider themselves to be Serbs, and some Montenegrins question whether they are in fact there is a difference in nationality between Montenegrins and Serbs. But anyway, regardless of that, they've always been two very, very friendly countries, two very friendly nations until recently. It's small. It's very mountainous. It is Orthodox. It is an Orthodox Christian country where this is taken very seriously. I mean, you know, it's a religious country. And what has happened is that after Yugoslavia broke up, this party that you've been hearing about, the Party of the Democratic Socialists, it has been steadily moving Montenegro away from its close connection to Serbia. It has brought Montenegro, again, very much against the wishes of many of its people, into NATO. It has pursued very strong policies, hostile policies towards Yugoslavia first and then Serbia. And it has been trying to get Montenegro into the European Union. So it is one of these small micro states, if you like, that the European Union and the United States and NATO have created around Serbia, which they've tried to use to keep Serbia contained. People of Montenegro didn't like it. Many of them didn't like it. Many of them opposed it. There have been long concerns about the democratic nature of this government, whether it's really a democracy. I question that myself, by the way. I think that its methods and its corruption are not that of a democratic state. And what it has recently been trying to do is to separate Montenegro from the Orthodox Church, to which most Montenegrins belong, which is the same Orthodox Church as the one in Serbia. Now, that was too much and went too far for many, many people. And it is not easy to vote against the government in a country like this. And they nonetheless went and did. And we should be a bit skeptical about some of these voting figures because, you know, votes in places like Montenegro, you can't always rely on them being completely accurate. Quite likely, I suspect, the opposition vote was even bigger than these figures suggest. The fact is, there is also within the Orthodox world a widespread sense that the Western powers are at many levels hostile to Orthodoxy. We've seen games being played against Orthodoxy in Ukraine, and we've also seen them now with Serbia. So this has backfired incredibly. This party that has ruled Montenegro for so long has lost an election. And by the way, they have lost an election. I mean, you know, they say we're going to wait until, you know, we get every last vote. It's not like that. I mean, they clearly have lost. And the fact that they're saying they're going to respect it, they're not respecting it already. You can see that they're not. So they've lost the election. The president is still there. He still has the support of NATO. He still has the support of the European Union. This thing is not played out. It's not finished by any means. But we've been given an insight into what people in places like Montenegro really think and how they really feel. And we've said this many times in our programs, that those of us who know the Balkans, and we're both from that part of the world, know that there is a conflict in the Balkans which is brewing because Western policy simply disregards the feelings of the people there. And this election is a sign of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a massive defeat for Djukanovic. Yeah. I think it was a massive defeat for NATO as well. And possibly you could say a massive defeat for the EU. I mean, the people really have spoken. Let me read you. Yeah. At the end of the BBC article, they actually have an interesting analysis from Guy Delaney, who's BBC Balkans correspondent. Let me read you a couple paragraphs and you could finish out the video. Yeah. This result could still play out in a number of ways, but it certainly represents a blow for Montenegro's president, Milo Djukanovic. He was not standing for election himself, but he was still very much the face of his Democratic Party of Socialists during the campaign. And it was his decision to pick a fight with the Serbian Orthodox Church, which gifted his opponents the chance to declare that they really did have God on their side. The church's involvement may have encouraged the high turnout of more than 75%, and many voters appear to have listened to the bishop's advice to vote for opponents of a government which passed legislation making it possible for the state to claim church property. This has opened the door to the possibility of Montenegro's first ever transfer of power via the ballot box. There would be concerns about the pro-Russian Serbian nationalist elements among the parties opposing the DPS if they managed to form a governing coalition. But a change of government after almost 30 years would send the world a message about Montenegro. After all, the U.S. human rights organization Freedom House downgraded Montenegro from a democracy to a hybrid regime earlier this year. And if nothing else, the turnout and end result offer an eloquent riposte. So, Alexander, this real quick. They went after the church. They went after the church, number one. And number two, the other comment that I want to make is coming from the BBC, which is very anti-Russian. I think this is probably the most they can go without outright saying, you know, Djukanovic, you really screwed up.
Well, that's right. I mean, can I just make the point, which is that very last thing that, you know, that the fact that there was this vote is a riposte to the claim that Montenegro's government is not, you know, it has been backsliding from democracy. I mean, this is the BBC trying to make excuses, actually, because of course it has been backsliding for democracy. This is a completely unexpected outcome. Nobody predicted it. It seemed as if the government was in very tight control of the situation. It is a sign of how strong feeling in Montenegro is that the government or the regime were not able to control the outcome of this election as they have controlled all previous ones. Why did they go after the church in the way that they did? It is part of a policy which we have seen increasingly in more and more places, which is to break up the Orthodox communion. The point is that they wanted to weaken the church in Montenegro because the church in Montenegro is connected to Serbia. And they wanted to weaken the links between Montenegro and Serbia and create a distance, to distance Montenegro from Serbia. It was very much a policy, obviously one that was supported by the regime in Montenegro, but which was clearly made in Washington and Brussels. I mean, that's where it comes from. It's all about separating countries that are close to each other. And of course, not just Serbia, but the biggest Orthodox country of all, the biggest Slav country of all, which is Russia. So it was an anti-Russian, anti-Serb policy, took on the church, and it failed. Now, if you go to Montenegro, what you will find, I've been to Montenegro many times, is the people in Montenegro are pro-Russian. They are. They're Orthodox Slavs, so they have a certain feeling of affinity for Russia. They're very pro-Serb. As I said, many of them think they are Serbs. And they're Orthodox. So it attacked their identity at every level. Unsurprising that so many of them resisted this. Very surprising. And frankly, very inspiring that they were so successful. But yeah, it's not played out.
It's not played out, but wow, what a result.
What a result.
All right, Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of The Draft. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on that red subscribe button. You will get notified every time we push out a new video and go live when you are subscribed to this channel. Also hit that like button as well. Please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really helps out this small channel. We are small, but we are growing with your help. And please go to the Durand shop, pick up some merchandise. We've got awesome new shirts that I've put on the website. We've got awesome new hats, put a lot of hats on the website. We've got new magic mugs. We've got new enamel mugs. We've got country flags. We've got it all.
Indeed. Here are two of the mugs that Alex is talking about. This is Greece, which is a porcelain mug. He's got, I think this is Serbia. Am I right? I think that's Serbia. Yes, Serbia there, which is Greece, Serbia, very, very friendly countries. And this is England, by the way. This is an enamel mug. I had this with me last week when I was on a walking holiday in the Peak District. And these enamel mugs are perfect for when you're out walking. They are just fantastic. They are amazing mugs. And of course, we've also got bigger ones. This is the bigger one that you can see, which is a porcelain one, which is the United States. And you can see they are the best mugs in the world, indisputably. And by far, as I said on many programs, I am the world expert on mugs, having drunk more cups of tea and coffee than most people can possibly imagine. So I know all about mugs, and these are the best. And the shirts that Alex is now producing are the best also. They're wonderful shirts, and the range of them is growing all the time. And some of them are embroidered. Many of them also have flags, and they are just amazing to see. And we've also got these amazing new hats that Alex was speaking about. You've got trucker's hats, and we've got baseball caps. And we've got embroidered hats. We've got amazing hats. And we've also got an ever-expanding gallery of ebooks too. So you come to our shop. If you come to our shop, you can buy these things. You can support the Durand by doing so. Give support to this small, struggling channel, which is nonetheless growing, as Alex said, all the time. But, you know, we need your support to grow and to continue to give you the kind of analysis that we had and commentary that we do on our programs. And at the same time, you will be the great owner of these wonderful things. So come to the Durand, buy from our shop. Alex will just tell you how to do it.
Just go to thedurandshop.com. You'll find the link underneath this video in the description box. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.